Apple, Washington.
With the participation of Palestinian Scout Associations and children under 16 years old, Palestinian resistance factions organized a rally this Saturday in front of the UNICEF headquarters in Damascus to show solidarity with the children in Gaza. This after the representatives of international organization refused to accept the children's letter, pushing them to publicize their message instead.
The Israeli army deliberately bombed hospitals, including Al-Ahli, Al-Shifa, Al-Quds, and the Indonesian. All the hospitals were put out of service because of the Israeli and American warplanes that kill and mutilate bodies.
We demand UNICEF to fulfill its responsibilities in helping protect civilian infrastructure, such as schools, hospitals, and water stations, and to ensure the provision of basic medical and food supplies for Gaza's children.
The children staged a performance on the massacres committed by the Israeli regime against kids in Palestine. They also chanted slogans and carried banners condemning war crimes committed against children and demanded the removal of the blockade imposed on Gaza.
Palestinian children amidst the rubble remain steadfast in the path of resistance. We will not surrender and will only bow before God. The Palestinian child fully understands that resistance is the only and optimal choice for the liberation of Palestine.
We are here to support the children of Gaza, and we call on the United Nations to support them, provide milk to them, and to help us stop attacks on hospitals and schools as they are safe zones for children.
The children affirmed that future generations will increasingly embrace resistance as the sole path to reclaim their occupied lands and to restore their legitimate rights, especially after they have witnessed the total failure of the international community to stop the bloodshed in Gaza.
Every child in the world must have access to medical care, clean water, healthy food, and a safe environment. But the children of Gaza don't even know if they will live to see another day. Yet, with innocence and resilience, they resist the Israeli tyranny. Ibrahim Wahdib, Damascus.
Dubbed Earth and Freedom, the latest demonstration in support of the people of Gaza was staged in Rome's northern suburb of Monte Sacro on Friday. The initiative, organized by a string of groups including the Student Collective for Palestine, the anti-Zionist movement in solidarity with the Palestinian people, and some housing movements, took place as Israel resumed air raids in Gaza after a seven-day pause in fighting.
Students from across Italy have been rallying in support of Palestinians because they are aware of the ongoing genocide in Gaza, the largest open-air concentration camp in the world. Meanwhile, the whole of the international community stays silent.
As bombardments have resumed in Gaza, we are trying to organize as many initiatives as possible in support of the Palestinians. Today, we are also calling on Carrefour to end its complicity in Israel's slaughtering of Gazans.
Also on Friday, the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions movement launched the Boycott Carrefour campaign, calling on supporters of Palestinian rights in Italy to boycott the international supermarket chain Carrefour. The multinational retailer has been often accused of supporting Israel's illegal settlement activities in the West Bank, and it has been described by some activists as, quote, a genocide facilitator.
The West must stop the Zionists if it really intends to help the Jews. Only a Zionist sick mind can call Palestinians human animals, a language which incites genocidal actions. It's time to drop the policy of controlled chaos in the Middle East.
The war has killed more than 15,500 Palestinians so far, including at least 6,150 children. Due to Israeli bombardment, about 60% of homes in Gaza have been destroyed, while at least 50,000 families are now homeless.
Hundreds of demonstrations have taken place in solidarity with Palestinians in Italy since October 7, and more will be held in upcoming days in different Italian cities, including Turin, Genoa, and Oristano. Max Civili, Rome.
Crowds of Yemeni protesters rallied in the streets of the capital Sana'a, reaffirming their staunch support for Palestinians against the Israeli occupying enemy.
The masses of Yemeni people who came out today confirm the continuation of our full support for our brothers in Palestine. This includes the distant efforts until the liberation of Palestine and the eradication of the Zionist enemy.
Protesters also expressed their readiness to support the Palestinians at all costs and provide the Palestinian resistance with money and men until decisive victory over the Israeli regime is achieved.
The people came out today like a flood to confirm that we are returning to the war with the Zionist entity. We are also here to direct a message to the Zionist enemy that its return to the war means that the end of its existence, the end of this entity, and the end of this enemy.
According to Yemeni military officials, Yemen is expecting that the U.S. and other Western powers would try to take advantage of the Red Sea. The officials have warned that any act of hostility by Israel or the United States will be met with unprecedented force.
We already knew that the U.S. would try to move in on us from the Red Sea, and for that we have prepared tremendously. We have prepared for them in a number of locations and in a number of fields. Our armed forces are prepared. Our Navy forces are prepared.
The U.S. Department of Defense has sent several warnings to Ansar Allah movement not to get involved in tensions in Palestine amid a brutal Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip. However, as the leader of Ansar Allah, Abdel Malik al-Houthi, stated, Yemen is not the nation that takes its orders from the U.S.
The resumption of Israeli airstrikes against the besieged Gaza Strip means the Yemeni army will resume its military efforts against the Israeli regime by launching drones and ballistic missiles against the Israeli entity. This also includes the capture or seizure of any Israeli-linked ship in the Red Sea. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
The ongoing boycott campaign against pro-Israeli products has set in motion a transformative period for Western businesses in Pakistan. Faced with a resounding call for boycott, pro-US and pro-Israeli companies find themselves compelled to make strategic adjustments. In response, these outlets have slashed their product prices by up to 50%, a desperate measure to bring customers back to their shops. However, the people of Pakistan remain steadfast in their commitment to uphold the boycott as a demonstration of solidarity with the oppressed communities in Gaza.
I am fully behind the boycott against pro-US and pro-Israeli companies. It's heartbreaking to witness the ongoing war crimes in Gaza, and it's time we use our consumer power to send a strong message.
Boycotting is our way of expressing solidarity with the innocent lives affected by the war on Gaza. These pro-Israeli and pro-US companies must understand that we won't support businesses linked to such atrocities. It's time to prioritize humanity over profit.
The people of Pakistan vowed to continue their boycott campaign till the complete ceasefire in Gaza.
These companies need to be held accountable for their affiliations with the US and Israel, and our collective stand can make a real difference.
The boycott has cast a shadow over the sales of superstores selling Western products in Pakistan, prompting a strategic shift in their offerings, giving more prominence to locally sourced items.
In response to intense boycott pressure, pro-Israeli companies are offering substantial discounts as a strategic move to regain customer trust after aligning with the US and Israel. This shows the complex interactions between geopolitical developments, consumer behavior, and national socio-political structures. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
just as the Palestinian people on October the 7th made the world pay attention to their plight. The global civil society is playing a major role in realizing justice for Palestine. A senior Hamas delegation visiting South Africa has stressed that people's sincere voices and actions are making considerable changes in that regard. One of the key changes noted by Hamas is how the narrative about Palestine has changed this time. As part of the visit by the senior Hamas representatives, they will meet with civil organizations, activists, as well as officials here. While the South African Parliament has passed a resolution to sever ties with the Israeli regime, the government appears reluctant to implement that decision.
The Israeli narratives, it has been defeated a lot. The people, they start asking their own governments about what is happening, why you are supporting those criminals of war, the Israelis. And after 2 years today, we are witnessing the winning of the Palestinian narrative, and that is because of you. You have marched into the streets and told the international community what is the realities over there, and because of the innocent blood which has been shed by those criminals inside Gaza.
South Africa also faces the challenge of its citizens who are part of the Israeli military force. Despite legislation banning that, the country is yet to prosecute any of these mercenaries. Hamas says governments need to take action. They say many countries have approached them to retrieve bodies of Israeli troops killed in Gaza.
A lot of countries around the world came to us asking about their people. I don't know why. If someone is Israeli, when he is killing Palestinian, he became suddenly a French or an Italian or a Russian. Suddenly they came, they are negotiating how to get our people. Why you are allowing your people to fight or to kill Palestinians? If they are your people, you have to stop them from participating in this terrorist organization, the so-called IDF.
While Hamas is committed to the current temporary ceasefires and exchange of prisoners, an end to violence will only be achieved through a comprehensive agreement which includes the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and Al-Quds.
We are talking about a political conflict, and this political conflict cannot be solved by military tools. They have attacked the Palestinians now for more than 100 years, and the Palestinians insisting on struggling, on raising their voices, they have to accept that we have ambitions, we have dreams of independence, of freedom and dignity.
The Israeli regime has threatened to expand its deadly bombing campaign to southern Gaza when the temporary truce ends. But the Palestinian resistance is determined to stand steadfast in the face of any such adventurism. Hassan Sirip, Cape Town.
Martyrdom, sacrifice and commitment. These are words deeply familiar to the Iranian people. They have been under heavy Western pressure and unilateral illegal sanctions since the victory of the Islamic Revolution 44 years ago. The world's powers have used all means to stop Iran from achieving progress, including the assassination of its scientists, specifically those who would have helped the country to make nuclear advancements. The assassinations, which have been orchestrated by the U.S. and implemented by the Israeli regime, have been condemned by many countries around the world. In the capital, Tehran, a gathering was held on Wednesday to commemorate those martyred scientists. The participants say that the Israeli regime does not want a powerful Iran.
We are here on behalf of the people and the country of Bolivia to pay our respects to the martyrs of Iran and all of those who were killed by the imperialist attacks of Israel, which is trying to prevent the progress of the people of Iran and its scientists in the nuclear field for its own interests. We believe that Iran should continue its scientific development in the nuclear field because this issue is important for the progress of any society.
America planted the Zionist regime in the region as a base for the West. For this reason, the West tried from the beginning to make this regime always more advanced than the countries in the region. America and Israel targeted the Islamic Republic, which has been trying to gain power and independence. The independence of the Islamic Republic of Iran angered the West. That is why they try to weaken Iran in any way possible and stop Iranian projects at any level. One of the most important things they tried was assassinations. These assassinations were carried out by Israel Mossad, which is known as the largest terrorist organization in the world.
Iran is a country that, despite international pressure and the assassination of its scientists, has become stronger day by day and has shown that it has never retreated from its ideals and values. Farzan Ashuryun, Tehran.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello, welcome to Press TV Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Approaching 2 months is the Israeli onslaught against Palestinians in Gaza. It is a genocide which is being broadcast in real time, almost 60 days into this genocide. And so far, the death toll is approaching 16,000 people, but it is widely believed to be higher, as many bodies are still trapped under the rubble. Western regimes continue to talk but do little about international law and its importance as Palestinian infants, toddlers, and kids continue to be killed in front of the eyes of the world. Where is this all going? Well, stay with me as I talk to my guests on the Spotlight. I'd like to introduce him to the show. Mostafa Fatouri, Libyan academic and journalist out of Tripoli. And Harley Schlanger, spokesman of La Ruche organization out of Germany. Thank you both for being with me. I'd like to start this off with Mostafa. North, south, east, and west, all directions now are being targeted by the regime in Gaza. What does this mean? When it started off, it said, first of all, that the people should move from the north to the south. We saw them bombing the people as they were going to the south. Today, we saw bombings in the south, north, east, just about everywhere. Your take.
Well, thank you for having me on the program once again. And I think what the Israelis' ultimate game is the fact that they just wish to kill, they just want to kill as many people as possible from the Gaza's population. And the idea of cramming the over 2 million people or who remained of them in a very limited area. It's less the place they are talking about, they want the Palestinians to go to in the Western Gaza Strip is less than, I think it's less than 4 square kilometers as a total area. It's very small. And the ultimate goal, as I said, they just want to destroy the whole infrastructure, including civilian housing and hospitals and schools and shelters for civilians, you know, provided by different United Nations organizations, as we have seen over the last 60 days. And what they want, the ultimate goal, is for them to satisfy themselves with the revenge they are prosecuting over Gaza is the fact that they want to kill probably 10,000 per each person, each Israeli person who was killed in October the 7th. There is no justification. There is no way to explain, logical way to explain what they are doing. What they are conducting is not a war, actually. It's a war crime. And what they are doing has never been seen in such a scale since the Second World War.
Right, indeed. Well, hardly simultaneously that this genocide is taking place in Gaza, the regime has unleashed a violent repression in the occupied territories. It means all Palestinians are under attack by the Israeli regime. Why is the regime behaving in this way, as if it is running out of time and must eliminate as many Palestinians as it can right now?
Well, I think it's very straightforward if you listen to what some of the leaders are saying, the people closest to Netanyahu, like Ben-Gvir, who's the national security advisor, or Smotrich, who's the finance minister. They're saying the Palestinians are not people, they're animals, that there's no difference between civilians and Hamas. I think it was Smotrich who said, Arabs are Arabs, and it doesn't matter if we kill children because they're the same people. Now, what's clear here is the goal is not to stop Hamas, given that Netanyahu is funding Hamas. Netanyahu admitted to giving over $1 billion to Hamas to pit them against the Palestinian Authority. What's going on here is an effort at the final ethnic cleansing of the land of Palestine, to get rid of the original inhabitants, the Palestinians, to drive them out. I mean, when you drive close to 2 million people from north to south and tell them they'll be safe in the south and then bomb them as they're going south and then start bombing in the south, where is it left for them to go? There's no sanctuary. There's no safe place. And that's the intent that Netanyahu started out with. Now, the timing of it is significant because it occurred at the point at which Netanyahu was about to go on trial. And his career as prime minister and as a political leader in Israel was about to be ended. And so the so-called intelligence failure was a perfect example of a government turning its back when there was going to be an attack because of the use of that attack as a basis for a justification for a brutal revenge. So I think that explains what's going on with Israel.
Mustafa, your thoughts on what Harley said, because there are various perspectives on that. And a lot of times we've seen from the Palestinian side, it says that basically because of the major losses as far as intelligence-wise on October the 7th, that it's trying to be downplayed as far as the astuteness of the Palestinian side in organizing this in general. I mean, your take on that.
Well, you're right. I mean, let me say this. I mean, the overall idea is you know, the Israeli regime, especially the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, are so angry and so deeply humiliated because of what happened on October the 7th. And that's why they want to use whatever kind of lethal force they have in their possession to kill as many of the Palestinians as possible. As it's also, you know, they feel the Israeli, even the Israeli society, they feel deep inside badly wounded because of what the Palestinian resistance did on October the 7th, you know. They just want to see a revenge, a blind revenge, driven by blind anger. It doesn't matter what kind of destruction they bring into Gaza. It doesn't matter to them how many people are dead, or how many hospitals are destroyed, or how many schools are bumped out, and how many clinics and mosques and churches went up into the air. It doesn't matter to them. They just feel badly wounded, and they think they can take their revenge by you know, ethnically cleansing the Palestinians from Gaza. But I think they're already failing. I mean, the fact that the resistance groups, including Hamas and the others, you know, Islamic Jihad and the others, is still, after 60 days of relentless bombardment, still being able to fire rockets deep into Israel. That means the Israeli campaign over the last 60 days have already failed to achieve any of its targets. We have not seen any captives, you know, being freed, or hostages, as they call them, being freed by the Israeli armies. We have not seen the Israeli army discovering or blowing up any sensible and sensitive as well, substantial tunnels, either in South Gaza or in the northern Gaza or everywhere else. And it's very important also to remember the way the Hamas leadership decided to hand over its captors. They chose to hand them over to the International Red Cross inside Gaza City itself, in the main square inside Gaza itself. And there is a message behind that, you know, the message that says despite the Israelis being around Gaza City for about 4 weeks by that time, or 2 weeks by that time to be precise, they don't control the city. Mm-hmm. As we have seen, you know, the fighters of Hamas being able to go into Gaza City, not to once, but three times, I think, to hand over the captors. And the message they wanted to send out is that the Israelis, despite the destruction they have brought and despite the war crimes they have committed, the genocide they have been committing so far, they failed actually to control Gaza City itself. Okay. After 60 days of destruction. Yes.
All right. Well, Harley, how are these Western regimes that support this able to keep up the charade that they're concerned about humanity and human rights? I mean, these sadistic murders have taken place while world leaders met for a climate crisis, when this is the biggest crisis mankind is facing right now, and they can't or choose not to resolve it.
Well, look, the Western governments are the worst hypocrites, murderous hypocrites, that I've ever seen. We saw this in Ukraine, where they claimed they were defending democracy and freedom and sent large amounts of weapons in because their intention was to destroy Russia. Now they're giving a full green light to the Netanyahu cabal to carry out a genocidal attack inside Palestine. Now, what's interesting, and I agree with most of what my colleague said, except for one thing, which is I think it's still possible that the Israelis allowed the attack on October 7th to carry out this broader objective. That's how cynical they are. They're willing to allow their own people to be killed in order to carry out the ethnic cleansing. The New York Times had a lengthy article on December 1st, which said that Israeli intelligence had a document, which was a battle plan for Hamas a year before the attack, and that they confirmed in July of this year that there were training missions going on inside Gaza to carry it out. Now, it's possible, given what we saw about 9/11 in the United States, where the administration allowed it to occur because they wanted to have an excuse to go in and destroy the Saddam Hussein government. So the Western hypocrisy is off the charts. And, you know, the typical example of that is Biden saying, well, we're telling Netanyahu to be more humanitarian. What, be kinder as you kill people? This is outrageous. These are war crimes. There should be a real explosion of popular anger in the West, and we're seeing it in some cases. But it's, look, the Congress, 412 out of 414 people voted to declare anti-Zionism as the same as anti-Semitism.
Right.
But everyone knows there's a difference. So it's hypocrisy on top of hypocrisy.
Yeah, it is quite unbelievable. Well, Mustafa, what about the Arab and Muslim regimes and their charades? I mean, some simply are keeping quiet and don't even fake supporting the Palestinians. Others say they do, while at the same time they have relations, either politically or economically, with the Zionist regime.
Well, I think it's along the same, you know, the same lines, if you like, the other colleague has spoken about. And it's just the, I wouldn't always, you know, explain it as the Zionist propaganda has always been brainwashing people, but that's part of the story. The other part of the story is hypocrisy, you know, and it's, and in today's world, there is this you know, this kind of a spoiled boy, which is Israel in this case, very spoiled boy who has grown up out of control of everybody, including the United States, which has been nurturing this little kid for as long as it existed. And once it's grown up, it doesn't pay attention to anybody. It doesn't respect anybody. It does not. I mean, one of the interesting scenes just yesterday is that the Prosecutor General, Mr. Karim Khan, of the ICC International Criminal Court, visited the region, visited Ramallah, and was also visiting Israel. One of the ironies I have noticed here is the fact that Israel does not like the ICC, boycotted the ICC, is not a member of the ICC, while the Palestinian authority or the Palestinian state, if you like, is a full member of the ICC, and they have always, over the last 3 years or so, invited the ICC to investigate different Israeli crimes committed in the West Bank and Gaza, and East Jerusalem. And it's a very embarrassing, if you like, scene for the Western countries, most of whom support the ICC, yet they see the Israelis welcoming the prosecutor general Misrhan. At the same time, they don't really like him. They will never cooperate with him. They have said this repeatedly, many times. Then they only received him for propaganda purposes. Yet the man, they did not allow him. They did not provide him enough security to visit Gaza. I'm sure if Mr. Khan was provided the right security parameters, he would have gone into Gaza because it's very close, very nearby, where he appeared. But it's very interesting to also to watch what the West will say if Mr. Khan, which will be quite difficult, if he comes back with an indictment for, say, the Israeli prime minister or the Israeli defense minister, what the West will say at that point. It will be very interesting to watch.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Okay. Well, Harley, I mean, we've seen videos of babies cut to pieces, beheaded, burned alive, buried alive. What else is necessary to be witnessed by the world in order to stop this genocide?
Well, I'm not sure that seeing more dead bodies and dead children will move the people who are supporting the Netanyahu government. So it's not a question of that. It's a question of the hypocrisy of talking about a rules-based order when you're violating international law every single minute of every day. What we have to do, and what my organization is doing in the United States, is putting pressure on Congress. The wars are not popular with the American people, and the American people are seeing it on television, and they're asking questions about why are we spending money to kill Palestinian children. And what we have to do is escalate the pressure on the Biden administration to cut the funding, to cut the arms shipments, and to join a campaign of bringing charges for human rights violation under international law to whatever venue is possible, whether it's the International Criminal Court, which is unfortunately controlled mostly by the United States. But the UN has already issued resolutions. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take, the only one that can stop Netanyahu is Biden and the Israeli people. And I think we're beginning to see a shift going on in Israel. Of course, it's a totalitarian state, so you risk everything if you speak out against the government. So we just need more international mobilization to call attention to the fact that this is the very kind of Holocaust that's being carried out that the Jewish people claim the state of Israel was founded to prevent.
Hmm. Well, Mustafa, what do you think? I mean, we cannot allow genocide to just become business as usual, and we cannot allow ourselves to become desensitized as we're seeing so much bloodshed. What do you think is necessary for people to do to continue to be active against the Israeli regime and to support Palestinians?
I mean, we have seen, as our colleague just mentioned, we have seen a shifting or increase in the shifting positions of the public opinion, not only in the United States, but also across Europe, across the whole world, from Amsterdam to Beijing. And there is the Israeli side of the Israeli regime have already lost the public opinion battle. From day one, they have lost it simply because the crimes they have already committed, you know, and they continue to lose that. We have seen a lot of public pressure building up and being manifested in different huge demonstrations from New York all the way to London and Amsterdam, Paris, Brussels, you name it, almost all major capitals, and we have seen that. And this trend should continue. The people who are doing this in the West and the United States, specifically in New York, who could have imagined, you know, thousands of people come out in support of the Palestinians in New York City? Nobody could have imagined this about a decade ago. Now it's a different picture. I invite all the people. People who like the idea of resisting occupation, people who feel strong about, you know, supporting the oppressed, in this case the Palestinians, to continue the pressure through social media platforms, as well as taking part in demonstrations in the streets across the capitals. And we are seeing the pressures building up. Just compare what Secretary of State Antony Blinken was saying 2 weeks ago, and what he was saying just yesterday. I mean, compare what Biden himself, who's a war criminal, by the way, by being complacent and helping Israel commit so many horrific crimes, you know, against the Palestinian Gaza. Compare what he said on the 7th of October and what he said last week. And the same goes for the others. So we urge him, we urge the people to continue the pressure on all those Western governments.
Well, Harley, your thoughts about that this war by the Israeli regime against the Palestinian people, this genocide, it's not won just by Israel, but it's the whole Western hegemonic front against the Palestinian people.
Well, you're absolutely right. And if you go back a step, what you'll see is that we've had in the last months the consolidation of an anti-dollar financial system, the de-dollarization. And it includes many of the neighbors of Israel. The Saudis have just joined the BRICS. The Egyptians, Iran is becoming a member of the BRICS. The United Arab Emirates. This is an alliance of nations that are primarily appealing to the global south by saying we'll no longer be enslaved by the imperial system. The Palestinian uprising, in my view, is a part of that, because the Israelis are playing the role of a colonial force, a British imperial force. In fact, that's why they were set up, I think, with the Sykes-Picot Agreement and the Balfour Declaration, to serve as a bastion of Western influence to disrupt the potential for an alliance of nations in Southwest Asia. And so this is why Biden and the British and the Germans are so insistent on backing the Israelis, because the whole Western financial system is about to go and be replaced by a new system based on sovereignty and economic development. And I think that's the wave of the future. The Israelis are not going to be able to turn back that wave, because the United States hasn't been strong enough to do that. And so the future is with the people, especially of the global south, the anti-colonial movement. And I think that's the most important lesson. Netanyahu's not going to get it, but maybe some people in Israel will figure that out.
All right, and on that note, thank you both for being with me on this Spotlight. Mustafa Fattori, Libyan academic and journalist out of Tripoli, and Harley Schlinger, spokesman of the LaRouche organization out of Germany. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. Bye-bye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
Fears the United Kingdom is heading for a recession this winter have intensified amid signs that British households are cutting spending as they save for Christmas and higher fuel bills. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Press Association PA Media has covered this story and tells us more. Fears of rising energy bills and a particularly expensive Christmas led consumers to rein in their spending in October, as 14% say they have already made mutual agreements to cut back on gift giving, figures show. Card spending rose by just 2.6% year-on-year last month, the smallest uplift since last September, according to a Barclays report. Spending on essential items also slowed from last month's 4.6% annual increase to 3.9%, largely down to easing food price inflation, but also driven by 69% of consumers continuing to look for ways to cut the cost of their grocery bill. Amid the heightened price sensitivity, some 70% of shoppers reported noticing a trend known as slack filling, when certain supermarket items contained less of the actual product than is suggested by the size of the packaging. Among the products most commonly noticed as having been slack filled were crisps 65%, sweets 43%, biscuits 43%, boxes of chocolates 42%, and washing detergent 21%. More than two-fifths of consumers, or 41%, also report that some Christmas food and drink products appear to be smaller or weigh less, despite costing the same or more than last year, such as chocolate boxes, cheese, mince pies, and Christmas pudding and cake. Some 7 in 10 consumers, or 71%, say they now take food and drink from home on days out to avoid paying premium prices at venues. Non-essential spending was up by just 2% on last October, as 47% of consumers reported plans to cut back in order to afford their energy bills throughout autumn and winter, most commonly on takeaways, eating out at restaurants, and buying new clothes and accessories. Adding to consumers' financial woes, some 36% expect that this Christmas will be more expensive than last Christmas, and 21% are concerned about keeping up with costs during the festive season. Some 37% say they expect to spend less on Christmas gifts this year, just 13% anticipate spending more, and 18% have started buying presents to spread out the cost, while 14% have spoken to loved ones to make a mutual agreement to cut back on gift-giving. Jack Meaning, chief UK economist at Barclays Bank, says it looks as though the oomph continues to go out of squeezed UK consumers. The latest transaction data shows they are pulling back from discretionary spending and increasingly worried about their future ability to spend, adding to the picture painted by other data. While some of these effects might be within amplified by unseasonal weather, it's hard to dismiss the growing evidence. Opinium surveyed 2,000 British adults between 20th and 24th of October. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Fears that the United Kingdom is heading for a recession this winter have intensified amid signs that Britain's hard-pressed households are cutting on spending as they save for Christmas and higher fuel bills. Two monthly snapshots of retail activity found shops and online outlets struggling because of consumer budgets being squeezed by dearer mortgages and the UK's lingering cost of living crisis. The British Retail Consortium, the BRC, the industry's lobby group, and Barclays Bank says sales were down in October once inflation was taken into account. The Bank of England has raised interest rates 14 times since December of 2001, but the downbeat report from retailers suggests Threadneedle Street's action to bring down inflation has come at the expense of weaker consumer confidence and lower sales volumes. Barclays says card spending rose by 2.6% in the year to October, significantly slower than the 6.7% inflation rate measured by the latest Consumer Price Index. The Barclays KPMG monitor of retail activity said sales were up 2.5% on October 2022, but stressed its figures were not adjusted for inflation. News of the slowdown came as the latest health check on the UK construction sector from Standard & Poor's Global and the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply showed house building contracting for an 11th successive month. The Standard & Poor's Global and the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply report showed all three categories of construction, infrastructure, commercial property and house building below the 50 level that marks the cut-off point between a growing and declining sector. But of the three, house building was the weakest, registering a score of 38.5. Meanwhile, evidence that consumers are wary of committing to big-ticket items emerged from the latest car sale figures from the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders. These showed a near 30% year-on-year jump in fleet sales, but only a 0.3% increase to 62,915 in sales to private buyers. Helen Dickinson, the British Retail Consortium's chief executive, said retail sales growth slowed as high mortgage and rental costs further shook consumer confidence. Many households are also delaying their Christmas spending in the hope that they can grab a bargain in the upcoming Black Friday sales. The cost of living squeeze meant more was spent on lower price indulgences such as beauty products, the so-called lipstick effect. Meanwhile, the arrival of some colder weather helped to boost fashion sales, particularly for outdoor wear. Helen Dickinson said retailers were cutting prices and streamlining operations as they sought to produce an affordable Christmas for their customers, but this was being jeopardised by a £470 million a year rise in business sales facing retailers next year. Coupled with a higher interest rate environment, dwindling COVID savings and the heating coming back on, beleaguered consumers are thinking very carefully about how they spend their money. As a result, the strong demand that has kept some retailers afloat over the last 18 months is now falling away. The Bank of England said last week it expected the economy to flatline in the second half of 2023. Threadneedle Street has penciled in zero growth rate for the third quarter and a 0.1% expansion in the final 3 months of the year. Official figures for the July to September period will be released on Friday. Barclays Bank says consumers had detected a new form of shrinkflation known as stack filling. 7 out of 10 shoppers had noticed examples of product packaging hiding unnecessary empty space inside. Esme Harwood, a Barclays director, said consumers had been cutting back on non-essentials such as clothing and restaurants in October, with thoughts turning to saving for Christmas and budgeting for winter fuel bills.
Lullaby, lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms, I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you, you of my roots. Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since some of thee inside my aching heart, some of thee inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice.